Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, May 21st, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I just want to tell you, I got a couple phone calls today. People said they enjoy listening to us together on the radio. Now, can you imagine that?
Can you imagine that?
I tell you what, they must be really bored people, huh?
Or drunk.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Now, folks, said I didn't. No, they say we put some laughter into it, and we do, and we should. Yes. We cover serious things, but we're close friends, and we can laugh with one another, and laugh at one another without getting mad.
Or maybe we need to be drunk.
I expect sometimes to come across that way anyway, so, yeah, okay.
Oh, well, gold was a little tipsy today and came back a little bit, but it was down $22 today at $1,727. You have silver down 48 cents at $1,719. It recovered nicely. We had dipped all the way down to $16.78 for a low. So let me just make sure there aren't any last-minute changes. No, so silver did a nice, they both did nice, but silver did good. Platinum was down $37, $830. Palladium was down 101 at 2,075. The USDX today is up 0.22 at 99.39. Crude oil was up 52 cents at 34.01. And the paper markets today, there was some pressure on the paper markets. You have the Dow down 101 points, 24,474. The NASDAQ was down 90 at 9,284. The S&P was down 23, 2,948. The 10-year yield, 0.68%. And let's see, all the European Asian markets were negative. And, you know, it's until these numbers start funneling through, and I wasn't drinking, I promise.
The just don't burp on the air. Go ahead.
All right, I'll try to mute myself. That'll be Todd's. That'll be Todd, the producer's.
Wait, Todd burping. Okay, gotcha. All right.
But I mean, there's so many. You know, we have layoffs are hitting nearly 39 million, and I get that people are going to be going back to work, but we just don't know how many. And I don't believe there's going to be 39 million coming back to work.
Not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. Or anytime soon.
No.
You know, we'll see things. We'll see numbers start to go back up, but don't fall into the belief that we're on the greatest recovery in the history of America. We got a lot of problems, and we've got a lot of money being pumped into these systems and in these programs to these multinational corporations, the repo markets. I mean, I can't even begin to count. How is the Fed going to stop? How is the Fed going to wean off of all of these programs? So, I mean, I don't think anybody really knows how this is going to turn around. And it's just, it's interesting times, Butch.
It is, Melody. These are times that's never been before in history that I know of, in our country for sure. But to see how quickly our society has fallen into total, almost a police state, but also chaos in a lot of ways, and the what was there in the way of some kind of an economy has went down to virtually nothing. And you already said it, that the Fed thinks they can spend their way out of this with trillions and trillions of dollars of nothing but paper and digits. Mm. You know, I mean, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I mean, we're going to pay a high tax. It's called inflation. We'll get that in a minute. But the situation is, this has never happened in our lifetime for sure. But even during the Depression, it wasn't like this. Yes, people were hurting financially, but it was never the point that they were so restricted that they couldn't, if they had a job, at least they could work it. Today, that's not so. Now, they're coming back a little bit, but it's not going to ever be the same even inside restaurants. Well, now you got to be 6 foot apart in a restaurant. Nothing's ever going to be the same again in our lifetimes. It's over. Never be the same. As they call it, the new normal is going to be the new normal. That's just the way it is.
And I don't know, in some restaurants, but it's kind of nice to be 6 feet apart.
Well, that's probably true. But you know, getting people used to the idea of all this regulation. And again, it's just not here, it's worldwide. That's what sometimes boggles my mind. They did it to the world, not just the United States. And I was talking to somebody today on the phone. They mentioned 2000. I said, do you realize what happened in Y2K?
Mm-hmm,
everyone panicked because the computers, well, we're going to go into a great catastrophe. And a lot of people believe that. A lot of people are prepared for it. Nothing wrong with that. But that wasn't a point. They were getting the nations lined up with the technology to communicate with one another, so all the computer databases worldwide will fit with each other. They did to make it all in sync. They did that. We now communicate by computer. I mean, we now have Babylon again in a sense that we all speak the same language on computers. They now have the way to link up nations with digital currencies. They didn't have that until after Y2K. This move, 20 years later, is a fact now that they have the whole world in the same boat financially. Now, there couldn't be a scheme behind that, could there, Melody? This couldn't be just a planned scenario, could it? I mean, this is all an accident worldwide, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And look what they did to the people. The people got wired, too.
And the cell phones.
Giving away free cell phones. Remember the Obama administration?
Absolutely.
Everybody, that was so everybody could call 911. Okay.
They could call 911. Toledo, Ohio had to tell people not to call 911 to report their neighbors for not social distancing. They had to give them another phone number to call. They were shutting down. That's just so sad. I'm laughing, but it isn't funny. But they did it to the whole world then in 2000, and in 2020 they brought it all down at the same time. People, this was not a coincidence. Believe me, there are powers behind this. A lot of people don't want to see it. They're afraid of it. But it doesn't change the fact that the powers behind this did what they wanted to do to get people used to a lot of things. One of them is more regulation. One thing is getting people used to the economy being like it is and to control you with more rules and regulations.
What I really believe it's all about slapping us in a database.
Oh, it is. That's all part of it.
I mean, it's all about our DNA. It's all about putting us in a database. It's all about knowing everything about us, the final details. And they will get to pick and choose who lives and who dies. It's that simple. We all know the world is overpopulated. Or is it? That's what they tell us.
Well, Bill Gates, he liked to reduce this by quite a bit. He said he could use vaccines, reduce this by 15%. That's what he said. I got that on recording.
But you could also take all the people in the world, I read, and put them in the state of Texas.
Well, that is true, and even less than that. Much less than that. But that's true. It's not overpopulation, but it is control.
And but it has been the governments that have screwed everything up.
Absolutely. Government always does.
Not the people. We live perfectly fine.
If they let us be.
If
we tolerate it, I guess it is partially our fault. But nonetheless, you're right. Governments, we've been warned. Benjamin Franklin warned about governments. George Washington said it's like fire. It's a useful servant, I think, but a terrible master. You got to keep it under control. You know, fire will keep you warm on a cold night, but it also can burn your house down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what government is. That they can help you with do their duty and do what's right. If you're not careful, it'll take over your house, and that's what's happened. I just mailed four certified letters today. One to our governor, one to the attorney general, one to speaker of the house, one to senate president, and I quoted part of our state constitution that they had no authority according to our state constitution to do what they've done. And right now we are working to put together a class action lawsuit against our governor. I want you to know that we're working on that right now. I have another lawyer friend of mine who's trying to find somebody in the state who will help us do this, and a lawyer in the state. We're going to do a class action lawsuit. I probably can't win it, but that's not the point. The point of it is we want to let them know we're here. We don't like it. Whether we win or lose, we want to let them know that we're not going to sit down and be run over. Mm-hmm. We're going to at least make some resistance.
That you're following them, that you're watching them.
Oh,
let me ask you a question. But when you have states, I mean, the president does executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And the states claim state of emergencies. Doesn't that give them some degree of power?
And so I can't speak for all states, but West Virginia, let me find this clause and read it to you. A clause in our state constitution that...
I'm not doubting you or anything
I'm
serious.
But this is important. This
I'm
is what... they really have no right to tell you you can't earn a living for your family or
That's
run a business.
Bad.
But this is what our constitution says. Article 1, Section 3 says this. The provisions of the Constitution of the United States and of this state are operative alike on a period of war as in time of peace, and any departure from therefrom or a violation thereof under the pleas of necessity or any other plea is subversive of good government and tends to anarchy and despotism. So they are not allowed by our state constitution to do anything contrary, to take away anything from, as you said, under the pleas of necessity or any other plea. They cannot legally, lawfully do that in West Virginia. That's why we're taking them to court.
Didn't you say, but in case of war?
No. It says the provision of the Constitution of the United States and of this state are operative alike on a period of war as in a time of peace.
Okay.
And any departure from therefrom or violation thereof under the pleas of necessity or any other pleas is subversive to good government and tends to anarchy and despotism. So, no, they have no authority in this state. The other states, I can't tell you that. But in this state, we said our Constitution cannot be touched. And under no circumstances can it take away our rights or try to do that for any reason.
Well, good job.
This is what we're doing, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. And I tell people we're probably throwing snowballs at a forest fire, but at least they'll know we're there.
Yes. Good job.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
We're trying. I promise we're trying. Because, Melody, if somebody doesn't, if you and I, for example, don't stand, who are we going to look to stand for us?
Yeah.
It's not going to be your state representative. We haven't heard a peep out of them, except out of one of them who said he's for us. But the rest of them, one out of, I forget how many people got in the house, but one representative out of all the bunch in Charleston has stood with us. The rest of them didn't say a word, didn't say a peep about it. So aren't they the ones that's supposed to represent us and speak our will?
Those are the people that irritate me the most. Those that don't say a peep. Even if you disagree with them, say something. You know?
Well,
just don't be quiet.
I told the Attorney General and the Speaker of the House and Senate President that they were moral cowards. That's what I was putting in the letter. I can read to you if you like to read. It'll be posted online. They're moral cowards. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it boils down to. They know their duty. They took an oath. They swore an oath to uphold the state and federal constitution. And I forget the federal. I live in West Virginia. So I held their feet to the fire with the state constitution. They took an oath to uphold that. And Article 1, Section 3 says they can't do what they've done lawfully. And also added to it a second part that is from the code, U.S. code, that says any man who deprives a man of their basic rights under any pretense can be fined or put in prison for it. I have that in the U.S. code. So, yeah, I do research. I don't just put these things out willy-nilly. I try to do research. I try to have all my ducks in a row. So we're going to I just sent the letters to those people today. And working right now on finding a lawyer who represents us in court with a class action lawsuit for the whole state. Mm. So you may
Very
not like
good.
Me after a while. I may be in jail.
Well, will they allow you to do the radio programs from there?
We'll have to ask and see. But yeah. I don't apologize for taking a stand. I will not apologize for doing what's right. I can't. If it offends people, I don't mean to do it for that reason, but I'll not back up when I'm right. How much further can we back, Mel? We backed into a corner. They've taken the jobs. They've shut down businesses. They've killed a dollar, not here, but worldwide even. How much further can we back up? How far can we go backward? Now in Washington State, they're taking people out of homes that may be contaminating, going to put them somewhere to take care of them, supposedly. How far are we back up before we say this is enough?
Well, I'll tell you what, the more I hear about those nursing homes in New York and New Jersey where they sent infected people
Yes.
that wiped out these nursing homes, to me, that's criminal.
It is criminal.
It's negligence. It's immoral. It's criminal. Yes.
But we, and again,
how stupid can you be? What did they think would happen?
They knew what would happen. That's what makes it even worse. They knew what would happen.
They knew what was going to happen.
It is criminal. Totally criminal. But look what they've done to our economy. Look what they've done to people that who have worked for years and had a business they worked hard for. They really worked hard for it. And now they're done. They couldn't make it. That makes me angry because they didn't do it. Now, I agree that the people should have said no, but they didn't probably know either. They obeyed and lost their livelihoods, maybe lost their children's inheritance, the business they want to pass on to the children. This is not what is supposed to be done, and I'm angry over it. I'm angry over it.
Well, I mean, a lot of the businesses that aren't going to make it are the ones that had too much debt anyway. That's not an excuse for them for failing. It's, but
for what they've done. And a lot of mom and pop businesses, though, make it month to month, and they had to be retirement, spend it all, stay open now. And that's
but when we tell people to get it. And when we tell people to get out of debt, it's just not your personal, but it's your business too. But yet, we've been trained to use OPM, other people's money.
Yep.
That's the way you do business.
I went to classes that taught that. Not that these people are insane.
And it's okay to use other people's money, but you have to be in a position, for worst case scenario, to pay it back. But people don't get in that position first. They go into debt first, and then they can never get away from it.
Being debt-free, as far as house payments and car payments, is one wonderful thing to be. I'm honest with you. It's a blessing beyond words to not owe anybody anything. I know I got power bills to pay and phone bills to pay. That's always going to be there as long as I'm alive, if I can keep it going. But not to owe anybody for your home, as long as you can pay rent to the state, I get to stay here. Mm-hmm. So to me that's such a blessing, and you're part of the reason why I've done that. You and Bob Chapman and others are part of the reasons why I did get out of debt, and I did it with gold and silver. Well, mostly silver for me. 17 years early I did it.
I was talking to a client, and they were saying that their financial planner, when they were getting ready to retire, they were going to buy a home, and they didn't want to have a mortgage. He talked them out of it.
What?
And why? Because he wanted to invest it for him. That's why. He doesn't. These financial planners don't give you the real. He says, "What? You're going to leave all the cash to your kids?" So they ended up taking out a mortgage. Have money in the stock market now. Risk losing everything.
What's wrong with leaving cash to your kids?
I know. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. We will not have one this Monday. It is Memorial Day. We will have a replay on Monday for the broadcasts, as it is Memorial Day. So we will be taking a... Although it's really just kind of like another day because we've been home for 3 months. So, so you know, maybe it's, I don't know. But anyway, it is Memorial Day, and we will not be working that day. Our offices will be closed. So yep. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about this. Butch, mortgage delinquency surged by $1.6 million
in
April.
Yes, yes.
The biggest monthly jump ever. Yesterday, we talked about mortgages actually rising 6%. We figured it was a floozy number, you know, coming out, because all the reports that we're talking about were all negative to the housing market. So here's one that just adds to it. Delinquencies among borrowers for past due mortgages are soaring. This is a sign that Americans are struggling to pay their bills. And we have, 39 million people.
Yeah.
Mortgage delinquencies, try and say it, Butch, surged by $1.6 million in April. Now, this is, okay, now get this, the largest single month jump in history. This is according to a report from Black Knight, a mortgage technology and data provider. The data includes both homeowners past due on mortgage payments who aren't in forbearance, along with those in forbearance plans and who didn't make a mortgage payment in April. A 6.45%, the national delinquency rate, nearly doubled from 3.06% in March, the largest single month increase recorded, and nearly three times the prior record for a single month during the height of the financial crisis in late 2008. But hey, we got a higher, or at least the stock market is coming back, so it can't be all that bad. Right, Butch?
That's right. Absolutely for, right. Like in Venezuela, it ain't bad at all.
Oh, it ain't bad at all. For
yeah,
context,
don't worry about it.
It took more than 18 months before the first 1.6 million homeowners became delinquent during the Great Recession. 18 months before they got to this number.
Wow.
There is still potential for a second wave of delinquencies in May. And
oh,
June.
I guarantee it.
And
July. They're
not
going back to work yet. Absolutely. This will bother people for at least, oh my goodness, a year, maybe longer.
Yeah.
This is going to drop overnight.
And it could very well never come back.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, once you lose your home, if you lose your home, it's going to be tough to get back on your feet and start over again. Especially somebody's been paying for it for 10 or 15 years and, or even 20 years and getting close to paying it off and lose it. Wouldn't that be a heartbreak?
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about that. Well, that's a huge heartbreak. We're talking about a home here, Melody. We're not talking about a outhouse or a garage. We're talking about where somebody's put in years of lives with their families. A home. A home is, it's not just a house. It's a special place where you belong. And to lose that, how would it make you feel? Especially if you had a family that you, and you're the provider for the family. How would that make you feel to lose your home where your wife and children depend on you to be there and have a place for them to sleep? I can't even imagine that. That breaks my heart. Think about it. It breaks my heart.
It does.
It really does. You know, we were talking with Todd during the break there about not being able to find freezers and a lack of freezers. People don't want to buy meat and store meat. I have seen something here where I live. I'm sure it's nationwide. where if you're raising beef this year, you're doing very well. People are calling wanting to buy cattle. I had to call yesterday to the shop where I take mine, having slaughtered it in the last Wednesday of October. Had to increase it from 3 to 6 because people are wanting to buy cattle. They want the meat now. The problem is, if you don't have a freezer, there's not any place to put it. But they realize now that, hey, there's a shortage. Not because the cows aren't out there, because there's no major slaughterhouses to butcher them, so there's a shortage in the store. So they better take care of themselves on a local level. So now people are buying beef from local people like myself, and are going to put it in the freezer. It would have been better if they would have done that last year, because beef was up in price quite a bit already. So if people would have listened in the first place and planned for the future, this wouldn't have hit them so hard, would it?
No, but I mean, we talk about this for everything. I mean, you know, getting out of debt, preparing for that possible worst-case scenario. That worst-case scenario might never happen. Even my family said to me, well, Mel, we don't think you're crazy anymore.
That's quite a compliment.
It is. How about that? You know, because they know I have food storage. They know I have this. They know I'm prepared. So it's like, well, you weren't so, you know, out there after all.
I have known people, my own family, they were snowed in for less than a week. They were down to the last pack of crackers in the cupboard. Now, can you imagine that? The last pack of crackers to get up to the store. That's how close they are to having nothing to eat. A week. Less than a week. I think like 5 days. I'm like you. I prepared. They're not going to starve me out. I may not have the best food in the world, but I won't go hungry.
And the thing of it is, people don't, you know, when it comes to your food, you don't have to buy food for 10 years. You know?
No.
You don't have to buy food for 5 years. You know, because people think when you're going through a crisis that you're going to continue eating the same way that you do when you're not in a crisis. Well, that's not true. You're going to cut back. You're going to stretch because you're going to share. You should share. And so what you have, you got to make sure that you have it a little bit even longer than, let's say, well, I've got enough for 6 months. Well, you know what? I bet you can turn that 6 months into a year. That's how I view things. Because we don't know when things are going to happen. And, you know, you can always add to your things, you know, things that you use on a daily basis or a weekly basis. You know, there's lots of things that you can get that you use in your normal cooking. So, you know, you have to be smart about when you're, you know, doing your, you know, preserving and planning and storage and so forth. So, anyway. And I really learned the hard way, Butch, because I used to do a program with a gentleman who got caught up in the hurricane down in Texas. And they were evacuating Houston. And they had a little bug-out place. And he said, Melody, he says, I thought I knew everything. I mean, I've been listening and planning for years. He says, but I found out I had things I didn't need. He says, I had a lot of those. He says, but then I didn't have things that I really needed. And you don't know it until you go through.
That's right.
And that's what we did the program about, things that you don't think that you need, but you do, and get rid of the stuff that, you know, is just fluff. Because you don't need it.
Yep, you don't know that. Go ahead.
I always have that in the back of my mind when I'm buying things. You know, is this what I'm going to need, or is this something? And the one thing he told me, he says he learned the biggest lesson. He says you have to fit in. You have to fit in to your surroundings. You don't want to stand out.
Yep.
You want to fit in.
I agree.
So if you have a house, if you have a house that has, I want to get solar power, but I don't want my whole house. I don't want to generate my whole house with power.
Right.
I just want my refrigerator, my freezer. That's all that's important.
Yep, I agree.
So,
I agree. You know, an article here might want to be shared because this has been happening and we're seeing the results of it now. It's called free money. Ever heard that term, free money?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
sure have.
Free money. Most Americans want the government to issue more stimulus checks, and they really do. But this article is so well put. When the people find that they can vote themselves money that will that will herald the end of the Republic. That's a quote from Benjamin Franklin. And it says, turn out to be a quite prophetic. Today, most of our politicians are socialists, whether they accept that label or not, and the American people have come to expect the government to do something for them whenever any sort of a crisis comes along. In response to this COVID-19 pandemic, Congress has borrowed and spent trillions more dollars that we do not have, and most Americans have been quite thrilled to receive their stimulus checks. But of course, now a lot of people are insisting that those checks were not enough and they want more. In fact, one new survey just found that most Americans want the checks to keep coming. The idea of free money is so seductive. But unfortunately, most of the population simply does not understand that eventually there's a great price to be paid for throwing free money around. Melody, we are accepting things that we wouldn't have accepted a few years ago. And being totally socialist is one of them. People like that check coming in, and now they expect more. And that's where we're headed for. We're into it, and now we know we're talking about the UBIs all the time. We're in for, I think, probably one of the worst disasters as far as expecting people to people expecting these checks than that we've ever seen. I mean, Peter Schiff, and again, he has some good points. He said people will be wiped out by the inflation tax. Now, this is something the people aren't thinking about. Mm-hmm. The printing presses are running at full speed as the Federal Reserve creates money out of thin air at an unprecedented rate. Peter Schiff recently appeared on Kitco News to talk about the impact of all money printing, borrowing, and government spending. Somebody has to pay for this, and we all will. In fact, a lot of people will be wiped out by the inflation tax. U.S. stocks markets have generally been rising despite dismal economic data, and any optimistic news about coronavirus, such as a recent promising vaccine trial, sends stocks up. Peter said he thinks people are looking for an excuse to buy, but what's really driving stocks is the Federal Reserve. Powell, in 60 Minutes this past Sunday, night basically committing to print an unlimited quantity of money and urging Congress to borrow and spend as much as they want, and that the Fed is standing ready to monetize an infinite amount of government spending. So I think people think that's good for the market, but it's not. It's a disaster for the economy. It will destroy the value of the dollar. And sure, that means stocks will go up. But so what if you're pricing them in worthless currency? So Powell said, we'll print all you want. Keep spending. Don't worry about it. Borrow more money and print more money. This is what's coming down America, and it's going to cause inflation. And Melody, if it caused inflation to the opposite scale, could it cause a deflation also?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That'd be worse than inflation, wouldn't it?
And I think we're going to see that, because I don't think people are feeling safe to go out and spend. So, yeah, I think they're, you know, although people are spending online, so they didn't stop spending. You know, I got word today from UPS that they're three times busier than Christmas. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my.
Three times busier than at Christmas time, with the less employees.
Are they buying necessities or buying luxuries?
Well, they didn't say what people were buying, but it's just the number of packages that they're processing. And that the post office, they've been busier than heck. They've talked like it's busier than Christmas too, because people are buying things online. So, you know, I don't know where all the money's coming from. It's all coming from credit cards, but we're beginning to see, and why not? People get in the mode times like this, I'm gonna max out my credit card. And who cares if I have to pay for it or not? If everything else is going belly up, why?
Well,
I mean, that went through 2008. People struggled to pay their mortgages.
They did.
And then there's other people that all got all kinds of benefits, and they were able to rewrite their mortgages and everything else. For those who bought McMansions.
If you wonder, if people are going to lose anyway, if they know they're going to lose their homes, why they got to lose anyway? If they max credit card out and can't pay, what else got to lose?
Well, what else do they got to lose? I mean, life isn't fair. I get that. You know, but, you know, it really, and the United States is not alone in giving millions of people stimulus checks. You have dozens of other countries that are doing this. And it truly is amazing. And, you know, he's talking about inflation tax. I'm talking taxes are, period. Our taxes are going to rise significantly. I think
they have to.
They have to. I don't know if Trump makes the election or not, but next year they're going to have the biggest tax increase people will have ever seen.
Well, to prove that point, a small town in Alabama called small city of Fairfield, Alabama, filed for Chapter 9 bankruptcy protection on Tuesday. A rare step by a municipality that comes as local budgets across the nation are upended by coronavirus pandemic. Now, this, folks, is going to be going on nationwide, I guarantee it. The only way these cities are going to make it is to cut services and raise taxes.
Yep.
That's what's got to be done. If they're going to keep any kind of budget at all. But the city's, you know, has faced a substantial decline and of course, in revenues. Obviously, Melody, 40 million people, as well, say, out of work. 40 million taxpayers not paying taxes locally, statewide, or nationally. What's that going to mean? That's going to mean that somebody's going under. And this city of Fairfield, Alabama, is going under. They filed Chapter 9 bankruptcy. Folks, think about that. They're going to raise taxes. They have no choice. I don't like it, but here we are. It's going to happen.
So enjoy your $1,200. Didn't we read an article that $1,200 is actually going to cost you $6,800?
I didn't see that, but you may have.
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yes.
Wow.
That's how much that $1,200 is going to cost each person.
What a bargain.
Yeah. Great bargain, huh?
I mean, this is phenomenal. And I'm looking here in the article. They don't want to come back to work. Restaurant blames CARES Act for labor shortage. We'll share that in a minute. Got to go to break in a second. But people don't want to go back to work to get more money sitting at home. So
do you really believe that?
Well, yeah, I do. Some of them, I talk to people right living near to me, don't want to go back to work as long as they get their $600 a week. They're happy.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I did talk to them. Matter of fact, one of them guy was called back to work. He said, I like to wait till this $600 goes away. I know the guy personally. He said, I just want to wait till the $600 goes away. I make more money here than I do going back to work. Now, what's going to happen to the
job?
But
I can't believe that's the majority of workers.
Well, I won't say it's the majority, but...
Yeah.
But still, even think a woman would do that. But
and then we wonder why we're in the condition that we're in, Butch, with that type of... And I don't know the person, and he's probably a really good person. But that's why we're in the condition that we're in. With that mentality, the government supports it.
Not a bad person, but they're lacking character in my mind. Go ahead.
But government creates these programs. They might be good in the beginning. It has good ideas, but they create them to attach themselves to the people.
Absolutely.
Yep. They're not good programs for the future. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And what's next?
Well, let's where you want to go, Melody? We talked about a lot of things. Let's go on to something a little different now.
Venezuela is
still. You go to the beach? Well, you live on the beach.
Can I go?
So, you sure,
can you
take
finish
off.
The
we'll
program?
Be all right.
No, it's cold.
I'd probably have that in like 20 minutes. I can talk that long. I'm a preacher. But anyway, Venezuela is still in the news in some areas, and we don't hear much about their economy. I don't know what's happening to the economy-wise. I haven't heard people in quite a while, but they told America its Navy will escort Iranian oil tankers arriving with much-needed fuel after Tehran warned of consequences if the U.S. tries to intercept the ships. The Venezuelan forces will escort Iranian tankers arriving with much-needed fuel comes after Iran raised concerns of potential aggression from the U.S. Trump administration has imposed unilateral sanctions aiming at ending oil exports from Iran and Venezuela. Venezuela is suffering an acute shortage of gasoline amid pandemic. I don't know the whole ins and outs here. And maybe they see something I don't see, but how is it the U.S.'s business who Venezuela does business with?
Well, I mean, they've been trying to change that regime for how long, you know, and, you know.
Yep, they have been.
You know, we used to get oil, you know, from them, and they would sell their gasoline up here and so forth and whatnot. So, yeah.
And isn't that where BP come from, British Petroleum, I believe?
No, I can't remember which one came from Venezuela.
I don't know, but anyway, I just know that.
I don't think it was BP.
I don't know why we think we can tell another country where they can buy and sell. I don't know how we get off doing that. I don't care what the reasons may be. It's never our business who they deal with. As long as they don't bother us, leave them alone. So I don't get it. Maybe I'm just narrow-minded on that, but I don't understand how America can be the boss of the world.
Well, you know what's interesting here, and it'll be interesting to see how the U.S. responds. This is out of Greenwich Time, but it's about China's Communist Party will impose a sweeping national security law in Hong Kong by fiat during the annual meeting of its top political body. The official said Thursday, criminalizing foreign interference along with secessionist activities and subversion of state power. The move is the boldest yet for Beijing to undercut Hong Kong's autonomy and bring the global financial hub under its full control as it works to rewrite the one country, two system framework that, you know, has allowed the territory to enjoy for the past 23 years. So it looks like Beijing is signaling that the national security law will be a new tool that allows it to directly tackle the political dissent that had erupted on Hong Kong streets last year. The months-long and sometimes violent protests that began last June kind of fizzled out only over public health concerns that was related to the virus. And, you know, when the virus first came out that we've heard about it, I made a mention that, kind of interesting for China. It's one way to send all those protesters home and keep them under wraps for a while. So it looks like, you know, that China might be looking to, you know, flex its
capitalize.
Muscles. Yep. Take a little more control of that country.
There have been fights broke out on the Hong Kong legislative floor over this, China move. You know that.
Yes,
they're actually getting fist fights
that.
On the floor.
Yes.
Yeah, and now in Hong Kong, by the way, they're making them wear bracelets. Hong Kong and making wear monitoring bracelets. If they come back in the country from visiting somebody else or anywhere else, they're making wear bracelets so they can be tracked and make sure they're staying at home while they're quarantined. So it's a huge move worldwide of control.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen with Hong Kong, Melody. I mean, China, I can see the point. They were once part of China, and they become more or less independent. So what's going to happen? I really don't know. How long were they? Was it 70 years they were set to be free of China, then and the deal went off or something some years ago?
Well,
you want to talk
they were under British control.
Yeah, they were, but then wasn't it because they had a contract with China to leave them be for so many years, and after certain so many years they'd go back under China control? Did I dream that up, or is that?
Were you dreaming?
I might be. Might be. Got to hold some bad weed here, but.
Well, they have been able to for 23 years, been able to live under, that one country, two systems type framework, for 23 years. So, and I think that framework is fine until, the people who are living in Hong Kong don't like it anymore.
That's interesting when they're fighting on the legislative floor. That's chaos already. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And what's interesting is how the U.S. will play a part into that. And President Bush was asked about it, but he, just kind of, skivvied over it. And he says if it happens, we'll address that issue very strongly, but he did not elaborate. So, I don't know. Another interesting thing that would happen at this time, that when everybody is weak, what would our responses be? How much would it cost? More digits. More creating money out of thin air with digits. Add another trillion or so onto that. And, we have a Navy. You hear about the Navy ships. With the men sick?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the U.S. is weak by any means, but the perception. Maybe this is why China is now is at this point doing it. We have our hands full now.
So. Well, aren't you seeing that many nations, including the U.S., is getting a lot of internal strife going on?
Absolutely. Turmoil.
I mean, there's protests and even violence breaking out, and it's threatening to get worse, even here in the United States. So it's worldwide, and the Bible does speak that, by the way. At the end times, this will start happening among nations. So we're seeing it happen. Italy, France, even Russia, Ukraine, are having protests about what's happening. So, yeah, the unrest is worldwide, not just here. As the coronavirus pandemic has been worldwide and crushed economies. There's something behind this much bigger than we've realized so far. I'm convinced of that.
So it's this is what happens, when people are denied to make a living and this is what happens. I've said this many times over the year. People don't get upset until they go hungry.
That's true.
Until their babies go hungry. Or with the thought that there's a possibility they might be going hungry or to be able
That's
to provide
true.
A roof over their heads. So people are pretty quiet until that happens. And that happened. So.
Well, we're seeing, too, that farmers, are hurting big time again this year. The last year, they lost everything because of the weather. This year, the weather's been terrible, especially in Michigan areas, places they're flooding. And in Nevada, I just read an article here, they had 500 earthquakes. In less than a week in Nevada. The biggest one was 6.5. That's a little town named Tonopah in western Nevada.
Used to go camping there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Five. Really? You went camping there? Really?
Mm-hmm, sure did. Mm-hmm.
500 earthquakes in less than a week, Melody. And, and 6.5, 4.5, 2.5, 5.0. Those are fairly good sized earthquakes, and 500 of them in a week? That's got to be something major about to happen. We're not talking about across the country, around the world. We're talking about in one place, in Nevada. That is absolutely kind of scary.
It really is. And something is getting some attention, but Michigan and its two dams that
broke. I got that right in front of me here, yes.
And there's another one in Roanoke, I believe, or someplace in Virginia that's close to breaking. This is the infrastructure, ladies and gentlemen, that's breaking down.
And the weather in our area has kept people from even planting gardens. I know a couple people went to plant potatoes when you normally do, and, you know, last part of March, first part of April, and they rotted in the ground. It rained, turned cold, even snowed some. The weather's still cool here. It's supposed to be 70 tomorrow here, which is not very warm for this time of year.
No.
And so they can't even get the gardens planted. So there's a lot more to this than we can get into in a one-hour program. But everyone's being affected by this, those who live in cities and those who live in the country. If people are used to planting gardens, I just talked to a gentleman today from Ohio that's got plants in buckets in his house because he can't put them in the garden.
Yeah.
So this is for real stuff. And you see how Michigan Dam fails and triggers historic and catastrophic flooding in Midland, Michigan?
Yes.
So here we go.
Well, that's what I was talking about, the infrastructure.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
Well, are you noticing more of that even with phone lines and internet connections? More people having trouble with that. That's, again, infrastructure, whether it's underfunded or neglect, whatever it may be. It's still coming down. And houses blowing clearly to smithereens because of ruptured gas lines.
Where'd that happen?
That's happened on the news several times. You never heard the news that houses blow up, and all of a sudden just blow up, and they find out they had a gas line, a house leaking?
I know, gas scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, this,
and it really
this
isn't happens. All that much cheaper than electric either.
But
not
that,
anymore.
That's happened several places around the country over the last year or so. A bunch of them just blew up. I mean, literally, they had one on camera. I mean, pieces of houses flying
all over
the block.
That's poor workmanship.
Well, it could be. The line had been there. Someone had been there 50 years, they said.
Oh, okay. I think the one that I saw was up in the New England area, and I think it was a newer subdivision.
But, well, that's part of it, too, and that's shoddy workmanship, yes. No doubt. But that not in itself is scary. I mean, to think about that. I mean, we have to have heat, and people take for granted that this stuff's going to work, right?
We do.
So it's just a situation. The infrastructure, whether it's shoddy work or old work, is falling apart. It's still the same results.
The same results. And it goes. I don't know which is worse: something that old that hasn't been repaired, or just the inability to do things proper because everybody is under such time restraints, you know, to get a house built, to get a neighborhood built. They bring in workers from all over the world instead of, you know, training properly.
Or contractors, you know, trying to save a dollar.
No one speaks English to these people. And it's not their fault.
That's
it's
what
the builder's
are.
Fault.
Yeah. Contractors trying to save a dollar.
Yeah. But why? Because their dollars buy less. That's why.
And
it all comes back to the dollar. Everybody's scrapping, trying to make a little more, trying to stretch that dollar a little bit further, but nobody gets it. Nobody. Except our listeners, because we tell you.
Well, you know, we're seeing society change, Melanie, to the point now that in Toledo, Ohio, the police in Toledo were forced to give people a different number to report citizens who were not social distancing after 9/11 lines were flooded with calls. They give out another number, an extension, I got right in front of me here, because the 911 has been flooded with calls of people calling and reporting neighbors because they're out in the yard lifting weights or playing and they're not supposed to be out there. That is a changed society, is it not?
I mean, what is wrong with these people? On both sides, what is wrong with these people anymore?
I agree. Well, they even call authorities in 911. This is all true stories here. They heard their neighbors cough for a sneeze inside their own houses, so they called 911. These are true stories.
Oh,
I mean,
it is
absolutely unbelievable that this is what actually happening. That people are that what word
nosy.
So, I mean, they would actually call because you sneeze in your house? They ain't got a life to start with, apparently.
They have too much time on their hands. But, of course,
they really do.
They
really do. And now it's getting they said that Broward County, Florida, official discusses going into homes and isolating people. I mean, they're taking them out of the homes. And I say people, and some places are saying if any business reopens, they could spend a year in jail. This is really heating up. Really heating up.
And, you know, and it all comes down, I'm sorry, Butch, and I know my listeners, it comes down from the top.
Sure it does.
It comes from the top. The top is chaotic. Everything underneath it is going to be chaotic. And that is a large part of what we're seeing. Nobody knows. Everybody's trying to do what they're supposed to do. Everybody's trying to be, you know, the good citizen and so forth. And in the meantime, there's no direction. There really is no leadership.
No.
There really isn't.
Leadership is factioned off so many different directions. You don't know who to believe anyway.
I know. And then we hear stories about, it's almost like leadership is bad. No, leadership can be good. I mean, that's what the top politicians are supposed to do. Not just, and you know, we always, it starts from the top. And I can't, it's not the only problem. It's just part of the problem.
Well, if people if the people themselves would say this is insane, it's up to us to fix it. But instead of doing that, they're telling the neighbors coughing in the house.
Yeah, that's amazing. What else is amazing is gold went down. It's a good buying opportunity. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a well-being.